Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
My dance, make it hurt.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast, hosted by the starting kicker of your Golden Gophers, Matthew Trickett, and me, Tony Liebert. After, I guess, a week absence for today's episode, we'll be recapping Minnesota's defeat against Iowa, 13-10. And previewing, I guess, the rest of the season. Obviously, regular season finale against Wisconsin, still a lot to play for. And then we'll look ahead to the rest of the season. So I guess just hopping in right to the Iowa game. It obviously very disappointing loss on all aspects. Very close game. Just a few bounces here and there. It kind of reminded me a lot of the other home loss this season to Purdue. There were a lot of opportunities to win both of those games, and there were just a few bounces that didn't go your guys' way once again. And it was just too many mistakes to overcome in the end, I think.
Yeah, and we knew that coming in, it was going to be a super close game. So we talked about being precise the entire week and, you know, making sure those little margins for error get closed even tighter. And, you know, it did come down to those plays, and that's where we got beat, really. It wasn't the entire game, us getting beat up or them getting beat up. It really came down to, you know, the final minute and who had the ball and who valued the ball more. And, you know, we had two turnovers. They didn't have any. And really, the game could have gone either way. And like Coach Fleck said, somebody had to come out of that game with a win. And sadly, it was not us. We just had one too many mistakes.
Yeah, I would imagine a loss like this is really one of the more frustrating ones you can have, obviously, because like you guys outgained Iowa by 120 total yards, more first downs, more third downs, and it's really in all facets of the game. It just seemed like there was no no part of the team or the game you could point to that was like, oh, the Gophers are struggling there. It seemed like all 22 players, both sides of the ball, came to play on most plays of the game. And like you said, it's just leading up to the game, everyone was pointing at the turnover battle and said this is going to have a huge aspect in this game. Because when you get Iowa and Minnesota that have these similar styles of playing where they like to slow the game down, like to have long possessions, like to rely on their defense, the margin for error is so small, and one or two turnovers there can just have a drastic impact on the game. And I guess from your point of view, in a game like this, it's obviously when it does just come down to a few plays, it's really easy to point fingers at people or things that happen in the game. I guess how do you guys kind of avoid that? Because Like everyone played well in the game. Like there was like objectively, I think nobody really played poorly. And it's just that has to be just really frustrating from a team's aspect. So how do you guys, I guess, just react to that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, in a game like that where every possession matters, the ball is huge and you have to take care of the ball. And like you said, nobody really had a bad game. It just seemed like each time we went out there, it just wasn't enough to get over the hump, get over the edge. You know, we had certain plays that maybe if we go back, we would change one aspect of it, and then that would change the entire game, you know? But in the moment, you have to stick with what you're feeling in that moment and how the game is called, and you just have to go out there and execute. And for the most part, I think our players went out there and executed. But, you know, with a team like Iowa that wants to run down the clock and really kill the game, from like a time standpoint, you
Yeah.
just have to be on top of everything. And I cannot say that we were on top of everything. I mean, special teams wise, I missed an easy field goal right before the half that could have really helped, you know, our possessions later on in the fourth quarter. Maybe we're not being as aggressive going in and trying to score where, you know, we had the turnovers. Maybe we can be a little bit more 4 minute offense and just try and run the clock out. And, you know, that hugely impacts the game. And, you know, I put a lot of blame on myself because I make those field goals all the time, and it was nothing huge. It was nothing special, but, you know, those are the ones that I have to make, and that's when the team needs me the most. So, you know, I failed in that category, but overall, it wasn't, you know, just one person. It was a combination of things, and that's what we kind of have to learn from and grow from. So.
Yeah. I guess how do you, I guess, kind of handle that personally? Because I think anyone who plays team sports at a high level is gonna have one situation or one game in their life where there is a big play that didn't go the way that they wanted to. But in a game like this, kind of like I mentioned, it wasn't just your missed kick. There was five or six big plays that could have had a massive impact on the game, and obviously it did have a massive impact on the game. So how, I guess, do you separate putting yourself at a high standard and knowing that that's a kick obviously you would like to make, but also realizing that your kick didn't lose the game? Like there were other plays that happened. So I guess as a Division I football kicker, how do you handle that?
Yeah, so I mean, everybody knows a kicker's job is to make the field goal, score points.
Yeah.
So when you don't execute on that, that doesn't happen. You know, you feel a sense of disappointment for your teammates. You know, the offense that worked so hard to get the ball that close to set up those points. And you know, I just feel like I let them down. And that's really hard to kind of look them in the face after that. And like, they have my back at all times, and they'll tell me like it's fine. But in the grand scheme of things, I know that, you know, our team really needs those points. And that's kind of built into our game plan that those field goals are going to go our way. And, you know, we'll get 3 points from that, and we can continue building off of that. So. There's the aspect of disappointment, but then there's also the aspect of, hey, that field goal was early on in the game. There's plenty of game left. You're gonna need to get your head right to get back in the game because not only does the team need me on the field to score points, you know, when we get back in field goal range or after we score a touchdown, but also just to the leadership aspect and how are we going to learn from that and really build off of that, even though it was a disappointment?
Yeah, because I guess for example, like obviously this is on a much lower scale, but like when I played high school football, there was like a game my senior year where we scored like a touchdown at the end of the game to go ahead, and it was like right at the end of the game, so it was probably like 5 seconds left on the clock, and it was like a fourth down, and it got called back because I had like a holding penalty, and kind of like I mentioned, it just when you play team sports like that and there's a situation like that, everyone can obviously tell you they're like, oh, one play didn't decide the game. But it's just personally, any human being with emotions is just going to have that lonely feeling where they put it all on that, because it's obviously easier said than done to say that your team has your back. But if you just put yourself at a high standard, it's hard to pretend like it didn't happen, and it's hard to move on. And that I think that's what kind of separates obviously good athletes from great athletes, is the ability to compartmentalize and move on to the next play. But I guess even going into other mistakes that happened in the game, like there were those two turnovers at the end of the game, and turnovers in football are such an interesting play because in the grand scheme of things, they might be a little luck driven at the end of the day, because like it's one bounce on an interception and it goes to someone's hands, at then that's not 100% like sustainable. And like Mo fumbling, like that happened maybe 4 times in his whole career. That's something that's not going to happen often. So in a game like this, when there's those two turnovers, like there's just luck that goes into it at the end of the day. And it just seems like this team and this program the last few years just can't find that luck.
Yeah, I mean, it is very disappointing to see because, I remember last year against Iowa, I think that was again another 2 or 3 point loss. I forget exactly what the score was. But it always seems to comes down to who gets the bounce at the right time. And it's crazy that it never seems to go our way. And I know that's going to change. And Floyd will be in Minnesota sooner than we know it. But yeah, I mean, it comes down to those bounces sometimes. And I mean, I don't know how else to put it, really. Because we had an opportunity, I think, right after we turned over the ball and a little different bounce, and we could have intercepted the ball and had it again inside the 15-yard line. Those are the plays that you think about and keeps you up at night, because if they went a different way, then that could be the game for us, and that could be the deciding factor. Maybe it's us needing to see that and not play differently, but maybe prepare a little differently and prepare for different kinds of bounces. I don't know exactly how you're going to be able to pull that off and predict the different bounces that and a football shaped object can bounce, but that's the game, and that's what makes it so awesome to watch. But at the same time, it makes it extremely difficult to prepare for.
Yeah, I mean, I guess kind of looking at some of the positives, obviously Mo had such a big game and it was really just a masterclass performance other than that one fumble. And like you could give Mo 500 carries and he might not fumble once, and like it just happened on that play. And 39 carries for 263 and a touchdown. I believe it was the first time player rusher even over 200 yards against the Iowa defense in over 100 years, which is just a remarkable number. But it's just like you said, it's just the bounces, and because football is a sport where you can a lot of the time Like if, for example, like if USC and UCLA are playing, they're scoring 45 and 50 points, that a few bounces here and there are a little different in that game than it is in this game. And that's what makes football so interesting, is like Iowa and Minnesota are playing the same sport, but one play at the end of the game can just have a complete like paradigm shift on what's going to happen. And it's just – it was a really, really – interesting football game to watch, because you look at the stat sheet, you look at the game, it just seemed like the Gophers dominated in all aspects of the game, and they didn't dominate in the scoreboard. So it's just a really, really that's like you mentioned, that's football, and that's what makes it football. But it's an interesting game, and this proved it once again, that it really is the best reality TV show in the world. It's just, you can't predict what's going to happen. And it's just like, I think if you asked any person that knows anything about either one of these teams, if Mo had 40 carries for 263 yards, I bet Gophers win that game 99 out of 100 times. And it's just, you didn't get the two bounces, and you just can't do anything about it. And it's just such a weird, weird game.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's a rivalry game. Everybody knows that. Everybody, you know, prepares a little bit extra for those rivalry games, because they just have a little bit more meaning than the rest. And, you know, us and Iowa are very similar teams in how we play and how we go about doing our business. You know, very strong defenses and run first offenses. So it's always a fantastic matchup to watch and to be a part of. But, you know, we always talk about the different things that can separate us from other teams. And even sometimes when those separate you from the other team, it doesn't always reflect that on the scoreboard. And that's, I believe, what we saw on Saturday, that even though we had the edge in the stat book and, you know, all these different categories, it comes down to the scoreboard at the end of the game. And we weren't able to put up the points when we needed to. And I was able to capitalize on, you know, the very few mistakes that we made in the game.
Yeah, it just, like right after the game, like I was talking with my roommates, who obviously go to the University of Minnesota, so they're fans of the team, and they obviously have opinions and want to point fingers at why the Gophers lost. But like ultimately, we're all pretty smart fans of the team. So then you wake up the next day and you realize like this was one of those games that I don't think you can realistically put it on anyone. Cause like, even if you look at like the offensive line, they had zero sacks allowed and a whopping 6.2 yards per carry on 50 carries. Like, that's a remarkable number. And I think, especially with the way the Gophers are designed, if you reach those numbers in most games against most teams, you're going to win. Yeah. And the defense played very, very well after those two first drives. I think allowed round 100 or even less total yards in the second half. Cody Lindenberg continues to impress. He's one name on defense that I just wanted to mention, that he's really had a big second half of the year. Tyler Newbin looks like a bona fide really superstar second half of the year too. I think he could hear his name called very early in the NFL draft. And even Terrell T-Time Smith, another guy who makes a lot of plays. I think he has 2.5 sacks over the last two games. And it's just, when you get all those big plays, the offensive line's performing well. Ethan performed very well for a redshirt freshman in such a big moment. He was making those plays that might not show up on the scoreboard. Like, there was one sack he evaded that was just a massive play, I think, on a third down that he picked up a first down. And it just – kind of like I've been saying, there was no person or coach or player you can really even point a finger to. And those are the games that are the most frustrating, because it's really hard to think to yourself, like, why did you lose this game? And when you have a reason, it's a lot easier to settle with that, obviously. But on the grand scheme of things too, like 13 points allowed this game. That is now the eighth out of 11 games that you guys have allowed less 13 or less points, which is just a crazy number. But yeah, it was just one of those games. I think that's really all you can chalk it up to. It was really one of those days in college football. It was just a lot. It seemed like there weren't many big games across the country, and then all of them turned to be super close and super polarizing at the end of the game. And it really was just one of those days, I guess.
Yeah. And we have that scrolling scoreboard on the, I forget what section it is, but it's in the second row and it shows
Yeah.
all the scores from around the country. And you're, during the TV timeouts, I like to look up at those and kind of see what else is going on. And throughout the entire game, they had close scores up there, and that's November football. That's championship football. That's when, the best teams go out there and play the best games. So every game is going to be close, and it doesn't matter really what people's record is at the end of the day in November, because people are playing for a spot in the conference championship. They're playing for bowl eligibility. They're playing for rivalry games. Like that's November football. So everybody has something at stake, and every team is able to kind of rally behind that. So, both teams for us had, the Big Ten West at stake, and we both knew that. And I think the guys that you mentioned, Cody had a huge game. T Time had a huge game. Newbin again with a huge game. Like, those are the guys that you need to step up in November football and play their best games. And even when they do that, sometimes it still just isn't enough. And, I don't want to dwell too much on this loss because it was a tough one, and we have to kind of move on and learn from it because we have, our biggest rivalry in Wisconsin this week. And that's a huge way to close out this season. And, for myself as a senior to leave the program on a win against our biggest rival is really all I can ask for now. So that's what I'm focusing on right now, and I believe the rest of the team is focusing on. We're going to be able to take a lot of things from that Iowa game because it's, I feel like, going to be a very similar game against Wisconsin. Once again, Big Ten football in November, pretty much as far north as you can get. So it's going to be cold. It's going to be good defense against good defense, and two fantastic running backs going off against each other. So I think we can truly learn a lot from this loss and apply it already this next week and keep the axe in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned obviously being a senior, this is the last few football games you're going to play in college. And obviously Saturday was senior day at Huntington Bank Stadium. What were your, I guess, your thoughts on the whole senior day festivities? And it's obviously an emotional thing for any player to realize it is your last home game, and you could be playing some of the last football you do in your whole life. So I guess what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, it is a great time for reflecting on everybody's career and everybody's beginnings and kind of how they handled different adversity. And, I can say for myself that I've lost a lot of football games in college. I wasn't always a part of the Minnesota family. And I've lost a lot of football games, and I've learned a lot through my 5 years of college football. And I know that the guys who walked out on that field for senior day with me All those who were in Minnesota since the beginning, you know, they have an awesome story to tell. And I believe everybody in Minnesota should be extremely grateful for those guys and what they've been able to do with this program. And, you know, it's a special time. You know, I'm so happy and grateful to have been accepted into this program and, you know, been able to bond with these guys that are so special to this state. And, you know, it was just a special time. My whole family was there, so it was awesome to see them out on the field and be able to hug them and just appreciate them and everything that they've done for me and everything that Minnesota's done for me. And, you know, it's been a great 5 years of college football, and I look forward to playing more years after this. But, you know, we can only take what we're given right now. So the most important thing right now to everybody is the axe, and we have it right now. We've had it for the last 360 days. So we need to make it, 720 days.
Yeah, I guess now looking ahead to the game on Saturday, it is such, like, obviously Iowa was such an emotional game, like, leading up to it, and it's such an emotional way for that game to end. So how hard is it to, I guess, flip the switch that quickly and just forget about that game and focus on Wisconsin? Because at the end of the day, that is really all you can do, because you can't change the result of the Iowa game. So I guess what are your early thoughts on Wisconsin, and how do you guys, I guess, get prepared to emotionally reset for this game?
Yeah, you know, emotionally it is difficult to get past a loss like that. You know, we always say play with emotions, but don't be emotional. And, you know, I think we save all of our emotions during the game for, you know, after the game, and really try to reflect on what went right, what went wrong, and stuff like that. So when you're not emotional during the game and don't let your emotions get the best of you, sometimes after the games, you know, that's all you are. You're just kind of an emotional mess, you know, trying to process everything. So it is tough to get past a loss like that. But, I mean, I think our whole team is on the same page after a good Sunday yesterday. And just getting back to the people in that building and, you know, how much our team loves one another and how much we want to do the right thing for each other. And we know that there's nothing that we can do now to change what happened in Iowa. You know, we can reflect on it, we can learn from it, but we can't change the outcome of it right now. So, you know, that's next year. That's that team and how they can match up against Iowa. But for now, it's the axe. It's Wisconsin. And, you know, it's in Madison, so it's going to be hostile. And, you know, I'm pretty sure nobody there likes the Gophers. And nobody in Minnesota likes the Badgers. So, you know, it's one of the, I think, most – one of the most long-standing rivalries, I believe.
Yeah, I think it might be the oldest one ever, technically.
Yeah, and I think even consecutive, like, games played year after year, I believe it has that record as well. So, you know, it's great importance, and we're always told that this rivalry has been going on 100 years before we've played in it, and it's going to continue 100 years after us. So we're very lucky to be a part of that game, and it's not going to be taken lightly at all.
Yeah, I think that's really the only mindset you can have. It just, in this era of, I guess, college football, it's really easy for people to, like, when the Gophers obviously have this goal of playing in the Big Ten Championship, winning the Big Ten West, and when that doesn't happen, it's really easy for a lot of people to be like, oh, the season's over, this game doesn't matter. Like, oh, let's play in a bowl game and move on. Like, What makes college football are these rivalry games, and each regular season game means more than the postseason sometimes. And like a game like this really almost is your, like, I think most realistic Gophers fans would argue that this game's obviously way bigger than any bowl game you could play in at this point. So it's like, this is your bowl game. Like, this is your, I don't want to say it's your Super Bowl, but it's the, like, the biggest game of the year is the next game on the schedule, and this is the next one on the schedule, and I think it's going to be a fun one to watch, and still a lot to play for both teams. It, like you said, it's one of the best rivalries in college football, and you just got to look forward and play who's in front of you, and that's sports, and that's college football.
Yeah, exactly. It is college football, and not everybody has such an intense rivalry game that they look forward to every year.
Yeah.
With such a historic trophy and historic past. So, like I said, we're all really lucky to have the opportunity to play in such a storied rivalry like it is. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot more than just this game for a lot of people. And it means so much to both states and both universities. So we know that and take a lot of pride in that. And I believe that's going to be the focus of our preparation and how we go about defeating the Badgers.
Yeah, I think that's really all you can do. Like I said, it's going to be a big game, 2:30 kickoff on ESPN, I believe. I think that's all we got for this week's episode. As always, I appreciate everyone for listening. Row the boat, Sky Umont, and go Gophers.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.